Okay, welcome back. My name's Andrew McMurray, Technical Evangelist for Windows Infrastructure. You are on the Hybrid Cloud Workloads, Storage and Backup course. We're now up to Module 3. Module 3 is all about hybrid cloud storage with the Store Simple Cloud Integrated Storage Appliance, which is something you can get as part of your Azure subscription. So let's dive straight in and get a bit of an idea as to what cloud integrated storage actually is. And if we look at our traditional storage data center architectures today, you'll see something very similar to what you see on the slide now. You've got your primary storage, we then move to archival storage for data that's a little bit colder. We then start thinking about long-term archival and backup, so we have to deal with our disk-based backup storage, which then eventually turns into tape infrastructure and management. How do we move those tapes around? How do we keep them off-site? Where do we keep them off-site? And how do we ensure that we're still able to read the data on them when we actually need to do a restore? And of course, we also have our off-site disaster recovery and geo-resiliency that we need to take into account. When it comes to all of this, this presents a few challenges. Obviously, the growth and exponential growth in requirements for primary storage can be quite high in terms of a cost. The growth of infrequently used data is always there as well. How often have you been in a scenario where you've been asked to retrieve some data from X number of years ago from perhaps a marketing campaign that hadn't been used in years? Where do we find that? Where do we store it? And how much is that going to cost? When it comes to backup storage, again, more and more customers are going for backup storage to disk because it's quicker to restore and, some could argue, more reliable than tape. But really, we need to think about the cost of all that storage that we need and how long are we going to attempt to keep that data on disk for based on the cost of the disk involved in actually keeping that data. Next thing we need to think about, of course, is tape infrastructure and management. And really, this has challenges in terms of the growth of our data center sprawl and the amount of equipment we need to store. We need to start worrying about tape drives. We potentially need to keep spare parts. Where do we actually keep the tapes? And how long can we keep them for? And how long are they viable for? And then, of course, when it comes to offsite DR and geo resiliency, it's all very well to get all that stuff in place. But how often do you actually test to see whether or not, in the event of a disaster, you'll actually be able to get your stuff back? So we feel that a hybrid cloud storage model is a much more simplified approach and a much better way of going about it. The way we look at things is we have two aspects to our storage. We have Store Simple's cloud integrated storage appliance, which sits as our primary storage, and we have Windows Azure, which effectively becomes a combination of our archival storage, our disk-based backup storage, and every other type of storage that we need. With cloud integrated storage capabilities from Store Simple, essentially we'll use that Store Simple device as an iSCSI target SAN. We will connect that to our servers and we'll store our data on that particular device. This particular device has a tier of SSD and a tier of spinning HDD disks, and we'll look at that data on that particular device and move things from SSD layer to spinning layer as and when it gets colder. When the data is particularly infrequently used, we'll then utilize Windows Azure Storage as a third tier for data that's very, very minimally used, or potentially data that we're backing up. Now, we'll be looking at how we back data up with our Store Simple device in a future module of this particular course, and we really want to focus right now in terms of the tiering of this storage. So our cloud integrated storage device becomes our primary storage in SSD, HDD, and then we utilize blob storage in Windows Azure for that cold data, which we can get back whenever it gets re-accessed. So we believe that hybrid cloud storage is ideal for unstructured data. And mainly this is because, at the end of the day, unstructured data generally tends to get accessed a lot when it's first created. And that data is particularly hot at that particular time. So think about a marketing campaign you might be doing at your particular workplace. What we do is we start building the marketing assets, we use them over and over and over again. And then as they get older, as time goes on, they tend to get accessed less and less. Now, if we look at this as a purely personal example, in Microsoft right now, we do a lot of stuff around Windows Server 2012 R2. We do a lot of stuff around Microsoft Azure. And what we tend to find is that there are certain file shares and certain servers within Microsoft where we go to get our standard presentations that we deliver to our customers. And right now, our particular file shares that host our Windows Server 2012 R2 stuff is getting absolutely hammered because we're using that all the time. So that access is really, really frequent. Now, what happens as we start bringing out new products? Well, I can tell you now that if you go and look at the presentations for Windows Server 2012 RTM, they're not being accessed anywhere near as much. They're older, and we just don't need to access them as much. ultimately, we have to say to ourselves, where do we want to store that data? Does that need to be on the most expensive storage tiers if we're no longer accessing it frequently? The data is getting colder, we need to move it off. And this is where hybrid cloud storage works really well, especially when it comes into the cloud integrated storage system of the StorSimple appliance. We're watching that data, we're looking at how often it's getting accessed, and as the data gets colder, we move it from our SSD tier to our HDD tier. As it gets older and older, and we compress it, by the way, when we put it on that HDD tier. As it gets older and older and no longer used, we encrypt that data and we move it into Azure Blob Storage as a tertiary layer of very rarely accessed data. And really, that has the equivalency that you see on the right-hand side of the screen now. So if we look at data growth over time, you can see that in terms of actual capacity for our StorSimple device, because we understand when the data is not being accessed as often and when we're moving that between tiers and potentially into Microsoft Azure Storage, you can see that the data being resident on the StorSimple device remains relatively static. However, over time, Microsoft Azure Storage capabilities will be used a lot more as that data gets colder, as the data is less often used, and as the data gets migrated into Azure Blob Storage. What does this mean from the perspective of infrastructure and management costs? Well, we lower both of them, and let's have a look at how we do that. We see with StorSimple cloud integrated storage around about a 60 to 80% lower total cost of ownership when it comes to cost associated with cloud integration, data management, media management, data center resources, as well as various other aspects that we'll look at as we go along. What does this provide to us? It provides us not only all of these benefits, but also the cloud integrated storage device provides us a secondary storage location for data protection. Now, this is particularly important, and as I said, we'll be dealing with that a lot more in the backup module for StorSimple a little bit later on. One of the really cool things about the StorSimple device is because we're utilizing a subscription-based model in Microsoft Azure Storage for the really cold data, that starts moving into an operational expense. So we don't necessarily need to be expending large amounts of CapEx in order to be able to handle the growth needed for our particular storage. So let's have a look at the architecture behind this particular solution. From a big picture perspective, here's what we have. We have our on-premises data center, and in our on-premises data center, we have our applications and our file servers, and we need to mount some drives and volumes on those file servers. So what we'll do is we'll use iSCSI targets to our StorSimple cloud integrated storage device, and we'll mount those volumes on those local servers. If we were to rip that storage device open and look inside it, we would see a layer of SSD and we would see a layer of SAS connected hard drives. And effectively what this does is it provides us a tiered storage model. So as I said before, as our data is being utilized frequently, we'll be accessing that from the StorSimple device directly. So essentially we'll be using SSD for high frequency data access and low latency and high throughput data requirements. And that SSD represents the smallest capacity of on-premises tier. Now, as that data starts to get a little bit cooler and we're not accessing it as often, what we'll do is we will compress and move that data to the SAS tier. So effectively, that's for our periodic data access where medium latency and throughput are considered okay. And that represents the largest on-premises capacity tier. And we'll talk about the different models of StorSimple appliance that are available and the amount of localized storage that they actually have. Now, of course, as the data gets really cold, the StorSimple device will then ship that data off-site into the public cloud utilizing Microsoft Azure Storage. And that's really for the rarely accessed data or data that can cope with high latency and low throughput needs. And really, obviously, that represents our largest capacity. Effectively, our Microsoft Azure Storage is, well, effectively unlimited when it comes to accessibility and comes to availability. So really, what model of StorSimple device would you use in your environment? And it really all comes down to how much localized storage you actually need and need to present to those servers that need to mount those volumes. As you can see, when it comes to performance and capacity, we have a number of different models from the 5020 through 7020, 5520, all the way through to the 7520. And I'm not going to sit there and read out every aspect of that slide to you because it becomes fairly obvious. But you'll see that we have models that really satisfy us from a 2 terabyte type requirement all the way up to a 100 terabyte local storage requirement. In terms of the components of the solution, the first thing we have is an appliance. This appliance is a hardware device that we put on premises and we connect that to Windows Azure. As I said before, it's based on an iSCSI SAN. It utilizes SSD and HDD tiers, and we automatically tier that coldest data to the cloud. Now, in order to work with this, we obviously need some kind of management solution. So we can utilize our StorSimple web UI for that, which is the primary management interface for the StorSimple solution. It's all web-based. That's what we use to set up the connection to Microsoft Azure, to set up our volumes, to enable them to be connected to via the different servers that need to work with them, and to do all the management and monitoring of that solution as well. We also have a snap-in for the MMC called the StorSimple Data Protection Console. And this is, again, something that we'll revisit in the last module of this particular course. How do we use StorSimple to provide some pretty amazing backup capabilities? So when it comes to high availability and networking, one of the things that we're really worried about is making sure that that StorSimple appliance will work just as well as any other SAN or NAS type device that we might purchase from any other vendor. And you'll be pleased to know that we have an architecture here for high availability. And you'll notice that throughout the solution, we pretty much ensure that every single aspect of the solution is not a single point of failure. So as you can see, we have redundant controllers, we have redundant power supplies, we even have redundant cooling fans. We have redundant network interfaces. Everything is redundant. So we make sure that the failure of one thing, one aspect, will never cause a failure. In terms of what this is protecting against and how it works, we've got ourselves a slide here that basically is an eye chart more than anything else. It talks really about what the benefits are of having dual controllers, dual power and fans, RAID 10 hot spares, and disruptive, non-disruptive software upgrades. So as you can see, we've really tried to make sure that this is enterprise-class storage. Not only is it enterprise-class, but it's also going to ensure that we effectively get limitless storage on that Azure-based storage subsystem. In terms of networking and multipath I.O., just to give you a bit of an idea of how this works, as you can see, MPIO on our host couples with IP address failover between the controllers. MPIO has multiple simultaneous paths from the application to the storage. So if we have a failure of any particular path, we have another redundant path that we can utilize to get access to that particular storage. Of course, what happens when we start thinking about moving our data off the cloud integrated storage device and putting it into Windows Azure because it's become completely cold? Well, don't forget, Windows Azure as a storage device has geo-replication built in. And as you're probably familiar from the previous module, you'll know that whenever we write data to Azure storage, we're taking three copies of that. Three copies within the single data center. And of course, with geo-replication, we can then send another copy of that to three separate locations in a secondary data center that is located at least 400 miles apart. So let's look at data migration now. So you've got yourself a StorSimple volume. How are we now going to get our data to that StorSimple volume? Well, the first thing we could do is just use some basic file copying utilities. So we could literally send our data via RoboCopy from its original volume to its new resting place in the StorSimple volume. Disk mirroring can also be utilized here as well. So take an original volume, mirror it with a StorSimple volume that you have attached to your server. You can see here we've got some positives and negatives for the different ways in which we could do this. Obviously, with file copy utilities, you know, you have some positives here. It's enabling us to copy data from a NAS device. DFSR can be used for continuous synchronization of the data. But unfortunately, with negatives, if you're looking at file copy utilities, well, generally speaking, open files can't be copied, and the file won't get copied until it's been closed. So if you've got people that have left connected to data for any particular point in time, well, we may not necessarily be getting a copy of that across. In terms of best practices for migrating data, we need to think about making sure we're protecting that data in flight and once it's arrived at the StorSimple device. So you might want to think about setting up cloud snapshots that are being really frequently taken during this data migration. Now, what is a cloud snapshot, I hear you ask? Don't worry, we're coming back to that in that last module to do with StorSimple backup. But it's something to have in your mind now as we approach that particular module. When I'm migrating my data, make sure that I'm constantly doing backup snapshots to the cloud because it's very quick and easy for me to get that data back. In terms of tiering, let's have a look at the way in which a StorSimple virtual volume, which we create on the StorSimple device and connect to a server, is actually created. So firstly, the volume itself is a container of data and it's dynamic in nature. And essentially that container contains a number of things. Firstly, we have data that's stored in a volume. The volume contains a volume metadata map, and the volume metadata map essentially contains a number of what we call fingerprints. And fingerprints represent changed blocks on the disks that contain that data, and that particular metadata map automatically gets updated whenever the data is moved from tier to tier. This metadata map can be used at any time to recreate that data or put it on from one tier to another or move it from one tier back to the storage simple to the store simple device. That metadata map is crucial because those fingerprints, as I said before, represent the actual blocks of data, and we use those fingerprints to rehydrate that data when we're moving back from the cloud tier through to the SAS tier or the SSD tier, and also to recreate that data as we move from SSD through SAS into the cloud tier as well. In terms of how the actual flow of the data works, let's look at what happens. So first thing that occurs is our data is copied to our cloud integrated storage device. First thing that happens is that data sits on the SSD tier. And what we then do is we run a dedupe process against that data on the SSD tier to ensure that we're not storing inordinate amounts of duplicate data. As the data is not being accessed as often, what we will then do is we will dedupe and compress it and move it to the SAS tier. And then as that particular piece of data is no longer being accessed any further and we no longer need it on the SAS tier, we'll then start looking at not just deduping and compressing, but we will encrypt that data as well and then send it across to the Microsoft Azure storage tier. Now, that's particularly important to be aware of. Anything that leaves that cloud integrated storage device to be sent to the Azure storage tier is encrypted on the device, is sent across encrypted, and is stored encrypted. The encryption keys are on the storage device, so on the store simple device. They are never sent to Azure, so you know that your data is safe. Obviously, deduplication is extremely important, and it's fairly obvious for the benefits of what deduplication are. And indeed, if you watched Module 1, you will have seen quite a discussion on deduplication already. Obviously, dedupe is all about making sure that we utilize the least amount of space to store all of our data by simply storing pointers to duplicate pieces of data at the block level. Obviously, we're going to do this on store simple as well to ensure that we don't utilize as much on-premises data capacity as we would normally without deduplication. In terms of security, we talked briefly about this before. Let's just build out this slide and we'll discuss each one. Firstly, security and account administration. So what occurs is when we set up our store simple device, the first thing we will need to do is provide our credentials to get access to the Microsoft Azure account where the data is being stored. And obviously then if we want to get access to that, we will need to authenticate to the management portal or to the store simple device using the credentials that we get utilized to get access to that. In terms of data access, Store Simple uses storage access keys, which are generated by Microsoft Azure to access the data. And we generate two 512-bit keys and we store them on the Store Simple device. With data in flight, that is already encrypted with AES 256-bit encryption. And the data at rest is also stored encrypted in the cloud, again using AES 256. So if we look at the data security workflow, as you can see, it's fairly simple. Basically, we log on to our Azure Management Portal using our authentication credentials for any of our account administration duties. From the Store Simple Cloud Integrated Storage device, we send our data across using AES 256-bit encryption, and we generate two 512-bit access keys, as we mentioned in the previous slide. So deduplication also contributes to the obfuscation of data in a cloud integrated storage system and in Microsoft Azure storage as well. When data is deduplicated in the cloud integrated storage system, it is translated from host-directed storage blocks into content-addressable data objects that are accessed by metadata mapping information. The deduplicated data objects are stored independently of the metadata and there is no storage level context stored with them for accessing them based on volume, file system, or file names. Data objects in Microsoft Azure storage are distributed across many cloud data center physical disks. In general, 16 million objects are distributed across an indeterminate amount of cloud storage disks for every 1 terabyte of data stored in the cloud. So we do have a very secure system here. In terms of security compliance, the Store Simple device does meet several appropriate industry standard compliance requirements. And if you want to know more about those, we highly recommend going to the Microsoft Azure Trust Center to get more information. As you can see, we've already sold into several customer environments that have requirements around PCI DSS, HIPAA, and various other ones like that. So definitely worth having a look at. So how do we actually go into a Store Simple device and create some volumes for the purposes of connecting them to a server? Well, what we'll do now is we'll dive straight into that and have a bit of an examination of how that works. Okay, so here we are at our desktop. What we're going to do now is simply click on our Store Simple web page. Now, the first thing we're going to need to do after we connect to this is authenticate to this particular web page. So what we'll need to do is put in our administrator username and password, and then we simply need to hit the login button. This takes us to the system overview page, which is where we see our monitoring. And the next thing we need to do is go and configure ourselves a volume that we will then use to connect to a particular server. What we do is we connect to our volume page like so, and the next thing we need to do is simply create the volume that we're interested in. What we'll need to do is provide a name for this particular volume, like so, and the type of volume we want to create. Now, in this case, this is going to be a standard file server volume, but as you can see, we have a number of different volumes that we can potentially create, all designed for specific types of data. And we can save this type of information into a cloud configuration file, which in our case, we'll just use the standard one that we have with the system. Now, what we'll do is we'll make sure we change the capacity of this to be something more relevant to what we want, let's say 200 gigabytes, and we'll turn on monitoring for this so we can monitor how that's functioning on the control panel for Store Simple. We're not doing a daily cloud snapshot right now, and we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Now we'll go into our security section here, and we'll set up an access control record which determines what type of machines can actually mount this particular drive, and then fundamentally we'll be able to go and attach that to a Windows ACL and work with that a little bit later on. Now you can see we've created ourselves a volume. We're now ready to go and connect to that via an iSCSI connection from the server that needs to mount this as an internal volume. Couldn't be easier. Okay, so that brings us to the end of this module. Again, Eval Center Virtual Labs and MVA. Good luck finding a virtual lab on Store Simple. There aren't that many around. However, if you are interested in getting an evaluation of a Store Simple appliance, get in touch with your Microsoft account team and have a chat to your nearest Azure specialist. They'll be more than happy to help you out. MVA, of course, stick with us. And we'll be seeing you very soon for Module 4. Don't forget to click on Module 4 and watch our next amount of content. Thanks very much.